by Craig Warner, with Henry Goodman as Beaumarchais. Episode 3, Femme Fatale.
If any of my friends at court could see me now, wearing plain dress, waiting each morning beneath the window of a woman I don't even know, they'd think me mad, when the court offers such bountiful pleasures at every turn. And yet, that is just what I fled. How quickly one tires of easy gains and vanity, and how quickly I was prepared to sport this disguise so that I might for once be loved for who I really am.
Are you going to read the whole thing, Monsieur de Beaumarchais?
Well, surely it's every actor's dream to have his part read to him by the author, so that he may imitate the delivery of the lines.
It wasn't my part you were reading, and I'd prefer some room for manoeuvre.
Room for manoeuvre can be dangerous. An actor may harm himself with it.
Well, if you're going to read the entire play to us, perhaps you ought to wait until the others arrive.
I shall be with the king presently.
I shouldn't worry. Your play on the page speaks well for itself. I'm sure it will please even the thorniest of critics.
Well, I hope it'll displease them, so that my standing as an artist will be confirmed.
What do you think of my costume for Figaro?
Oh, it suits you very well, but perhaps a hat and a scarf are missing?
Will that not be too much?
Oh, nothing could be too much for Figaro. He's a barber who's wiggled his way up into the society of the court through cunning and well-timed flattery. But his humble birth will always show through, as it always does with his type. In his dress, he overshoots the mark.
I know just the scarf.
Ah, perfect. Now throw it around a lot. Each person should have a gesture individual only to him. That's what they mean by characterization.
I'm familiar with the concept.
Well, only from reading my play, I presume, since I'm sure I invented it. All the plays that have yet been written concern themselves primarily with types, but my characters are vessels that would gladly hold a myriad of details without the risk of overspillage.
What about Monsieur Shakespeare? Are his characters not complete?
Oh, no, they're not complete because they're not written in French. That is the greatest liability in the theatre, for even if one has the misfortune of being English, the sound of that language is yet ill-suited for use in the aesthetic arts. What with the tongue bumping into the consonants, one after the other.
May I ask you a question about the character, Figaro?
Yes, of course.
Does Monsieur Figaro like his friends at court?
Oh, he loves his fellow man, but he's amused by their manners, as they too would be if they could see themselves.
Do you not think our peers will take offense at some of the gestures?
If the character is poor, they will laugh, because it is safe to laugh at the poor. Yeah. If the character is rich, they will laugh, because it is safe to laugh at their friends. The only character who it is not safe to laugh at is the one depicting them. But no one identifies with the villain. And since everyone in a comedy is the villain, no one will be depicting them.
Clever!
That is why good men love truth and bad men love comedy.
I must say, I like dressing up common.
Yes, that's why you like acting. You can be common briefly without selling up.
Tell me the truth, Beaumarchais. Is it not a pleasure to have been born common? I imagine it is. One could be oneself. I imagine him, the common man, sat in the corner of a tavern somewhere, dirt in his trousers, laughing up a storm, not a care in the world, guzzling cheap and fruity wines, and throwing whatever wench passes by across the table whenever the fancy takes him. Is that what it's like, Beaumarchais?
Nothing is a pleasure when it is real. If you dream long enough of being someone else, sir, you will eventually discover that sometimes he dreams of being you.
Do sit down, Beaumarchais.
Thank you.
I know what you're going to ask.
Your Majesty?
You're going to tell me you've served me well and will continue to serve me well, that you're French, French to the bone, and that you have no honours to equal the service of your king. Oh, and then you're going to tell me that, as you've been deprived of your civil rights, you will be unable to serve me fully, and that with a note from me to Parlement, their verdict will be reconsidered on Monday, and on Tuesday you shall be all mine. Is that correct?
My motives are entirely selfless.
Oh, that may be so, but there's nothing I can do.
Nothing?
Nothing as quick as that. You've challenged Parlement, one of our most respected institutions, and defeated it. Oh, you were right to expose their corruptibility and the fact that they worked almost entirely in the service of protecting their own privileges. But I did convene this Parlement, And its failure is a reflection on my administration.
Oh, Your Majesty, I never for a moment...
Sir, please. Oh. Now that the old Parlement has reconvened to the applause of man and God, I cannot overturn their very first verdict. Can I? Not without reasons other than the ones that were presented in court.
What other reasons might Your Majesty have?
The ones that you yourself present me with. If you're to perform duties in the service of your country, these actions may cause the Parlement to reconsider their decision.
Oh, I'll do anything, Your Majesty.
Good. Because I have a problem, and your talents are ideally suited to resolving it.
Anything. I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything. Even if it means physical danger. Especially if it means physical danger.
I need you to go to England. Can you assure me of your absolute discretion and zeal?
I will cover England silently and without sleep until my duty is performed.
Excellent.
What is Your Majesty's pleasure?
I'm being blackmailed, Mubashi.
Oh. By whom?
Have you ever heard of a woman called Leah de Beaumont?
Lord Rochford, how good it is to see you.
It is only a matter of weeks since I was in France, and yet so much has happened. I must fill you in on every little detail.
Not every single one, sure.
Every single solitary tiny little baby detail. You must be my guest.
Oh, you're too generous, but I can't stay with you. I haven't the time.
But how long are you here for? My secretary said you were building an opera house.
Yes. I was told that you could put me in touch with an opera lover called Leah de Beaumont. I'm told her collection of opera memorabilia is unparalleled and that she's never missed a first night. One ignores the advice of the lay enthusiast only at one's peril.
Yes, I know her. I'll put you in touch. But will you never stop surprising us all? I've read your memoirs. Oh. There's nothing funnier. And now you're building an opera house.
In my spare time, I've also written a comedy for the Théâtre Français called The Barber of Seville. It's nearly ready to open.
Another triumph. Personally, I can't bear the politics of the theatre. I can't bear the politics of anything.
Is that why you left politics?
That is why I left foreign affairs. I am still in politics.
And what do you do?
I entertain the Americans. Here's my home, just on the left. Come in. I want you to meet them.
Oh, no, I can't. Not now. I have to find Leah de Beaumont.
You must come in and tell us some of your stories.
No,
you're so entertaining and I'm so dull.
True. But I must speak to Leah de Beaumont about the opera this very evening.
I'll make a deal with you. I'll tell you where you can find her if you come in for a while and entertain the Americans and me. Oh, please, just for a while.
It's a deal.
Oh, good. It'll be such fun, I promise. No one will be bored now. Not now, anyway. Come in. Come here.
Madame de Beaumont? Is anyone there? My name is Beaumarchais. James Rochford told me where I could find you. May I speak to you for a moment? I realize I've come unannounced, but I am operating in some haste. We're building an opera house, you see, in Paris, and as I'm in London for only a couple of days, I thought perhaps you'd let me ask you a few questions. You could render the opera an indispensable service. Madame?
Mademoiselle, not Madame.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry.
They all do it. After 40, you don't stand a chance. Come in. The kettle's just boiled, or would you prefer something stiffer?
Whatever's ready.
It's all always ready.
Oh, then wine would be nice.
Wine it is. Don't look so troubled. There's no one else here.
Oh, no, I didn't think there was.
Am I making you nervous?
I'm often shy in the presence of a beautiful woman.
Never believe a flatterer. That's what my mother always told me.
You know where you are when someone insults you, but when someone is kind, they could be up to any old thing. Here you are.
Oh.
Cheers.
Cheers.
So, you know Jim, do you?
Who?
James Rochford. You said he sent you?
Oh, yes, I know him.
And why has he sent you to me? I'm no expert on the opera, you know. Just an enthusiast.
Oh, we have plenty of experts. It takes a real opera lover to know what elements contribute to the warmth of the experience, to its humanity, the decor, the setting, the light.
I see.
And to be honest, I wanted the opinion of a woman.
Oh, well, that's what I am. A woman from top to toe. Here, as you're from Paris, let's have a bit of the good stuff.
Oh, do you never go back?
It's not possible these days.
Why not?
My life is a boring old story. I wouldn't dream of subjecting it to it.
I have time.
And don't you get me drunk now. You'll never shut me up. I love a bit of booze and a friendly ear.
I'd rather talk about you than our boring old opera house. I can tell by your eyes that you've lived an interesting life.
What, these old things? But don't you know, monsieur, a woman's eyes never tell the truth.
Yours do.
God, it's been so long since I had a man up here asking me questions, interested in me. I could get used to this, but I wouldn't want to deprive Madame de Beaumarchais of her handsome husband for too long. I'm sure she despairs without you.
There is no Madame de Beaumarchais.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
She met a rather untimely end.
Pity. And here you are, stranded, all alone in the world, with no one to care for your masculine needs, which I'm sure are considerable. How long will you be in London?
Only briefly.
Well, you better mind your back on the streets. It's much more dangerous than Paris, you know.
Oh, you'd be surprised.
Would I?
Paris has changed, even in the 3 years since you've been gone. There are still ruffians, you know, but now they call themselves activists. One can scarcely enjoy travelling in a carriage these days. Last time that I went out, I hardly made it back in one piece. Stones were thrown through the windows. They even tried to make off with one of the horses in the middle of Paris.
Who are you, monsieur?
Well, I told you, my name is...
I know your name, but why are you here?
Again, I told you, we're building an
Nonsense.
Opera house and...
How did you know I left France 3 years ago?
Oh, Lord Rochford mentioned it.
Rochford doesn't know.
Well, perhaps it was just a lucky guess.
Tell me who you are, and you tell me now. I am in danger, so if you're a friend to me, prove it to me quickly.
I am a friend.
Who sent you?
The king.
The French king?
Of course, the French
king.
I
don't believe you.
Well, I have letters.
Everyone has letters, but you can't fool me. I know the king's hand.
Look, here. Do you recognise this?
It is his hand. Why has the king sent you? What is this official business he writes about?
He has sent me to come to terms with you.
About what?
Your proposal.
Oh, that. I should have expected you. You probably think I'm a cheap blackmailer, don't you? You probably think I'm enjoying this.
I know only what His Majesty told me.
It was the last resort, the very last.
The King bears no ill feeling toward you. He just wants the matter resolved.
So do I. Do you think I don't want it resolved?
Well, of course.
It was a resolution I proposed.
But he could not comply with your terms.
Well, he'd better comply or he's going to be faced with some very powerful enemies. Do you want another drink? We might as well. Oh, and I suppose he told you. I'm not a woman.
He did.
Well, he doesn't know the whole story there, either. I am a woman. Just not your normal sort of woman.
Thank you.
As a child, I had certain impulses that I was forced to suppress, having been born in such a body as this. And when I was sent to the academy for military training, I almost forgot that I was living a lie. I threw myself into my career and was soon a decorated officer of dragoons. I was known for my fortitude and courage, but I was also known for my delicate face, my beauty, a beauty far too discriminating to have been wasted on a man. Anyway, when Empress Elizabeth of Russia took the throne from her father, she wouldn't allow any male diplomats to enter the country. I volunteered to be dressed as a woman.
Boy, did I volunteer. I went to Russia as my own sister, Leah de Beaumont. I worked on the sympathies of Elizabeth, and she is now one of our strongest allies.
So that was you?
That was me. Of course, when I returned to France, I had to climb once again into my foreign attire, those men's clothes, and hang up the beautiful gowns the court of Louis XV had made especially for me. He was so pleased with my work in Russia that he gave me further decorations, but none the ones I wanted. I wanted sashes, and I got medals. I wanted bows, and I got stripes. He decided that my mind and dedication were indispensable to him, and he put them to an even greater test. He gave me papers detailing his plans for the invasion of Britain. He sent me here as the guardian of his great secret, so that I would be in place should the slightest brawl occur between the two countries, at which time I could put his plan into action. I waited, and all was quiet for a time. So I began to relax. I knew I was important to Louis, and so, yes, I took liberties. I ate well. I drank well. I went to the theatre, the opera, 3-4 times a night. And nothing from Louis. Not a word. I sent him demands for payment of the debts I'd incurred in his service. There was only silence. I thought I was to be made his ambassador, until Gachet arrived and usurped my place. I wrote to Louis again and again. Silence. My debts were swelling, and I had no way to get out of them, and my king, who'd sent me here, would do nothing for me. Finally, I received a letter from him saying that I was in danger. Someone had gone through his desk and had found our correspondence, but he didn't know who. I mustn't return to France. There might be enemies there waiting, and I mustn't trust Gachet. He believed his orders were to have me recalled, and bodily. So Louis instructed me to get some female clothes on my back and to take a flat in town. And I changed my name and I became the woman you see before you now.
I never would have known.
No, you see, I can stand up to any biological woman any day. They're easy to match. I can stand up to them without makeup.
Anyway, I spent as the Chevalier d'Eon. I spend as Leah de Beaumont. If I become him again, my debts are great. If I stay me, my debts are greater. For 3 years I've been in this position, trapped between man and woman. I expected the king to help me. He has not replied to any of my letters.
Well, he has not felt it was safe.
I'm sick of his excuses. So I told him that either he could guarantee me a pension of 12,000 livres a year and a full settlement of all my debts, or the papers detailing the invasion of Britain would be put into the hands of the British crown. They'll pay for them, and pay well.
The king has agreed to the pension.
He has.
But he cannot settle the debts.
They're his debts.
He does not view it that way.
He has to see my point of view. For once, someone is going to have to see my point of view.
He has sent me here to help you.
He sent you here to get those papers back.
But perhaps we can help each other.
How?
Where are the papers?
They're in a box.
In that box over there?
Beautiful, isn't it? Each one of those stones was put in place by little Arab slave boys in the 1000s. My mother gave it to me. It's been with us for generations.
Where's the key?
Here. Around my neck.
May I have it?
Can I ask you something, Monsieur de Beaumarchais? Will you answer me truthfully?
To the best of my ability.
Are you really on my side? No, don't answer that. Let me just pretend that you are for a moment. You know, when I heard your voice through the door, my heart stopped. Such an elegant, fluid voice. And when I opened the door and there you were, I had the feeling that you were sent somehow to take care of me. I didn't know in what way. I just knew you were sent, like a guardian angel. And then I thought, no, Leah, don't be a fool. This nasty world should have taught you by now not to trust, particularly strangers. And then I thought, quiet, Leah. Let me have my hour. Let me pretend. Nothing wrong with pretending, is there? Let me pretend that you've swooped down from the skies and that your only interest is my protection. That you're a friend to me. It's been so long since I've had a friend.
If you give me the key, I could be opening the box while you're talking.
Is that all you think about?
Time is short.
Why?
I have a play opening in Paris tomorrow night, and I want to be there for it.
You write plays as well?
That is my primary function.
See? We do have things in common. I love the theatre more than my own life.
May I just look at the key?
My life is a piece of theatre. A sad old play which nobody comes to see.
If you love the theatre so much, then please help one of its authors get back for his opening night.
You're going to betray me once you get that key. It's the only thing that's keeping us together.
We have to hurry.
Are you going to get rough with me?
I am demanding that key.
Stay back.
I am wearing a sword.
You wouldn't draw on a woman?
A woman? I see no woman. All I see is a wrinkled hermaphrodite in a wig and an evening dress.
Ah! Oh! Here. Take it. I don't care anymore. Take the key, open the box, and get out of here.
What? What are these? Schedule of customs and excise tariffs relating to foodstuffs brought into and out of England, 1785.
I'll have you know this is my real hair.
And this schedule of nautical departures for merchant vessels in the south of England, spring 1783?
It's relevant. It's all relevant.
This is rubbish.
Please, monsieur.
Where are the papers discussing the invasion of Britain?
I don't know.
I will draw my sword.
Don't hurt me.
5, 4, 3.
All right. Take your papers. Betray me.
Where are they?
Here. In this urn.
Give me that.
Oh.
Ah.
You see? Those are them. Now go and take the papers and leave me to rot here in England with no pension. I just want you to remember that there was a woman somewhere who was counting on you. As a sister might. Or perhaps something more. A special friend. A woman who made a demand on your honour and you did not come through. You betrayed her and left her to die. If you leave me, I'll die. I'll die. I'll take this poker and I'll stick it right inside me the minute you walk out that door.
Oh, stop it.
Why should I? You're not going to pay my debts now, are you?
I have not been authorized to do so.
I knew it. What's going to become of poor Leah?
I want you to come back to France with me.
You know I can't do that. It's dangerous for me there.
Come back to France dressed as a woman.
What?
You're Leah de Beaumont, the sister of the Chevalier d'Eon. You'll be able to live as you like, in the way that you're most comfortable. You'll get your pension from the crown, which Louis has already agreed to pay.
What about my debts?
The Chevalier's debts won't exist anymore because he'll no longer exist.
But I incurred debts as Leah.
Ah, but there's one thing that you seem to have forgotten. There's no debtor's prison in France for women.
Of course there's not.
And your debts were incurred here. Britain does not extradite women for any reason, so you'll be able to live in peace under the protection of the French crown.
Oh, sir, I can't help myself.
Thank you.
You've saved me. You've saved me from a life of destitution and ruin.
How can I ever thank you?
Now, words will suffice.
Is there nothing else I can do for you?
No, nothing at all, I assure you.
You're my little guardian angel. I knew you were. We'd better hurry if we're going to make your first night. Oh, may I attend the theatre with you?
Of course.
But, monsieur...
Yes?
You don't really think I'm a wrinkled hermaphrodite in a wig, do you?
No, it was said in anger.
Aha! I knew it. You're far too much of a gentleman to harbour anything but the kindest thoughts towards nature's gentle creatures. You don't know how much you've helped me.
Well, you don't know it, but you've helped me too.
It's nice to know two people can lick each other's wounds in a world where courtesy and tenderness have nearly vanished.
Yeah, let's go. If we hurry, we'll make it to the theatre just in time.
Oh, and me arriving with the playwright.
Ha 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 ha! tired of writing, bored of myself, disgusted with others, drowning in debt and empty of pocket. In the end, convinced that the useful revenue from the razor is preferable to the vain honours of my pen, I left Madrid, and, bags on my back, philosophically passing through the two Castiles, La Mancha, Extremadura, Sierra Morena, Andalusia, welcomed in one town, imprisoned in another, and everywhere superior to events. Praised by some, condemned by others, charitable in good weather, optimistic in bad, mocking the foolish, braving the wicked, laughing at my misery, and shaving all the world. You now see me established in Seville and ready to serve your excellency and you in all things it might please you for me to undertake.
They want you up there. Go, go.
My lords, ladies, and good gentlemen, it has been my greatest honor yet to have humbly served you tonight with this frivolous little comedy that I call The Barber of Seville. Is not life itself a comedy? Cannot our little plots and designs be easily traced by our great creator, from whose throne laughter eternally rings out? For is it not that what up close looks like tragedy, from a distance is forever absurd, ribald, and droll? I stand here before you, ladies and gentlemen, above you, and at a little distance, from where I can tell you that the world is not a place of gravity and mourning. It is a place of levity and mirth. So let us take our distance from our petty lives. Love for a time the wisdom that we hide so well from ourselves. And let us laugh with the gods. For they who know all know to be always amused.
Excuse me! God, ladies and gentlemen, we have just had word from Versailles. Our 15th Louis of France, our sovereign and governor, His Royal Majesty, the King of the French and of our fair France, has this evening departed life. The candle at Versailles has gone out.
In Beaumarchais by Craig Warner, Henry Goodman played Beaumarchais. Bill Nighy was Le Chevalier Dion de Beaumont. Ronald Pickup, Louis XV. David Timpson, Lord Rochford. And Sean Baker, Le Comte d'Artois. The director was Marion Nancarrow.